Hello, this is Sean Tilley, and with his brand new album Spirits of the Western Sky out right now, we welcome to Gold the legendary Justin Hayward. Justin, it's really good to see you.
Thank you, Sean. Always lovely to be here.
Yeah, I know, because you have a fantastic relationship with the radio station that spans so many years.
Yes, but with help on tours and going right back to the jocks that, you know, we're here from the beginning.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Very nice.
A lot of them are still around.
Yes, a nice vibing relationship, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, exciting times for you, of course, as
yes.
well, because this is your first solo album. I can't believe this, since The View from the Hill, which is an album I remember playing tracks from years ago, but 1996, I mean, 17
yeah.
years, it's an awfully long time, isn't it, to have in between projects?
Yeah, I've been having to think about that, because I've been on the road with the Moody Blues, you know, 6-7 months a year. We work more now than ever. I've done 2 Moody Blues albums in that time, and as well as doing 3 or 4 different DVDs, and the Murray Lerner film of the Isle of Wight, that I was got to mix that as well. So I've been working a lot in the studio, as well as the War of the Worlds. I've been doing all the War of the Worlds
yeah.
shows every year for about 10 years, until this recent one. And I had over those years, really, I'd collected so many songs, and I couldn't see a new Moody Blues album coming along. So 3 or 4 years ago, I started to get serious about thinking about putting my material together professionally and doing it properly. So and that's how it turned out. In fact, I've got a lot more material than that, what is on this album, but this
it
is
could have been
stuff
a double album.
Like. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's yeah. interesting now. That's
it's already a double album. Do you know it's already a double album on the vinyl version,
oh,
Sean?
Right.
Yeah.
It's great to hear that you've released it on vinyl, because,
yeah.
You know, I think vinyl, I don't know about you, for me it's never been a way anyway, because I've worked in clubs for many years. But even in terms of on the high street now, it's a little bit of a resurgence happening, isn't
there?
I'm very pleased about it.
There's certainly a demand, otherwise
yeah.
I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, for this album, part of it was recorded in Italy
yeah.
and some of it in the States as well, Nashville to be exact.
Yeah.
Well, what was the thinking behind those locations?
Well, I'd been working at a studio in Italy for a long time with a partner there, Alberto, that we did the remastering of all the Moody's things, the 5.1 surround sound, and the Moody's albums that I've done there, and different things to do with movies and soundtracks and stuff like that. So that was always home to me, and I live in that part of the world. And Italy is a great live music scene. It's very active, a lot of musicians playing, there's music going on everywhere. It is the land of song. And in France too, I found a guy that got a great sound on my vocal. And then also I've been quite close to the bluegrass community in Nashville over the years, and they invited me out, and we did some songs, and it was the most wonderful things. I think they like my voice, and the bluegrass community is a load of fantastic musicians waiting for a songwriter to turn up, you know, with a song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they found the right person in you, that's for sure. One of the people that you work with on the album as well, I know he's a pal of yours, but somebody else who's got a fantastic sort of heritage
yeah.
in the music business, Kenny Loggins.
Yes, Kenny and I, we were at a hotel in Albuquerque, and he was playing, and we had a night off, and then I was playing, and he had a night off. And I think it was his idea that really formed it. Hey, let's do something, write something together. So we just did in one afternoon. And originally it was intended to be for a new album for him.
Yeah.
And it's a song called On the Road to Love. But then he joined another group, I think, actually, a couple of years ago, with a couple of other artists, a girl and a boy. And I just sort of revived it, got the old demo out that we'd made together, and we swapped some tracks from You Send It, Dropbox, you know, that kind of stuff. You can make
yeah.
a record like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did all the backing vocals and some guitar and me too, and it was just a great way to work, and we're going to celebrate it. I'll see him in a few weeks, and we're going to celebrate that because we love it.
The nice thing is you've really embraced the technology over the years, haven't you?
Totally,
yeah.
totally. I mean, I Every time I go into a recording studio, I'm thankful and joyful and consider myself very lucky to be there. It's a precious time, and I love it. Yes, the Moody Blues always did embrace that.
Yeah,
and me
absolutely,
personally,
yeah. But it's incredible, isn't it? Because it's 50 years now since you signed your first publishing deal, isn't it? As a songwriter.
Yeah.
And that was with Lonnie Donegan, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the biggest mistakes of my life. In truth, yes.
I mean, I have read that before anyway, but for anybody who doesn't know the story, I mean, basically, you signed the rights away to those early songs that you
wrote.
That's
right, for the first 8 years, yes. So it's a warning to any songwriter to at least take, if somebody says, you need this, or you need me and you need this, go away and think about it for at least a couple of days and get some advice on it. But what I have had is the pleasure of being the writer of those songs and experiencing that kind of joy every night on stage, and that with those early songs in particular, from Nights and Question and Tuesday and Story in Your Eyes, that's a wonderful thing to be able to share every night with an audience.
Obviously, you worked with Marty Wilde for a while after the Lonnie Donegan experience.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of this, and you know, I sort of tend to sort of get off on finding out facts about individual artists and what have you. But I didn't realise that it was actually an ad that you'd answered that Eric Burdon of the Animals had put in the press that actually led to you joining the Moody Blues.
That's right. I heard nothing from Eric, but Eric had passed my pack and my acetates and everything to Mike Pinder of the Moodies, and completely out of the blue I had a call from Mike Pinder, and it was the most wonderful slice of luck in my whole life. Fantastic.
Here's a band that had had a huge number one with Go Now.
Yeah.
They'd had a heck of a job trying to follow up the success of that. Denny Lane was out. You'd come in and John Lodge around about that time as well.
That's
what was the brief when you guys all of a sudden were fronting this band with Mike?
In truth, Denny's voice was a fantastic rhythm and blues voice. You could tell that on the record Go Now. It was just great. And he was the spirit of that. The rest of the band, their heart wasn't in that rhythm and blues. And it was only when we started doing, I was writing, Mike was writing, when we started doing our own material that it clicked. So that there was a change when we dropped the blue suits, stopped doing the rhythm and blues stuff badly, and just did our own stuff, and it worked.
Was Fly Me High the first single that you wrote for the band?
Well done, Sean. Yeah, Fly Me High was, yes. Yeah.
A little bit of homework pays off.
Engineered by Gus Dudgeon.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
There's a great name as well.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And it was the first time I'd ever met Tony Clark, the producer of the first 7 Moody Blues albums, yeah.
So 1967, and you got the Days of Future Past, and that was really the beginning of that sort of classic Moody Blues sound in terms of, you know, your sort of tenure with the band, which goes on. And what an incredibly successful album as well, because it spawned, well, obviously Tuesday Afternoon, and that song, Nights in White Satin. The album went to number one in the States as well when it was reissued in the early 70s.
Yes, that's right. Eventually, it stayed in the charts for 5 years and got there in 1973.
I've got to ask you about Blue Guitar, because that's another one of my all-time favourite songs as well. And I guess that's another song that you know, you can never, ever think about resting. It's always one that people are going to want to hear, right?
It is, although I haven't done it on stage, because it's not a Moody Blues song.
Well, Blue Jays,
But you don't do
that one on stage.
No, I wish we did. I wish we did. It would be nice to get my fingers around that little lead solo at the beginning again.
Yeah,
but when I do my solo tour, I'll do it on there, yes.
But, I mean, you know, you and John had so much success with that period of your career as well.
We did. We were very fortunate. I mean, that fell together by accident when the group drifted apart in 74 or something. I was going to do something with Mike, and then Tony turned up, and then Mike wasn't interested, and then Tony was all different. So, and then the logical thing was for me and John to do that, and we hung on to each other for a couple of years, you know, because we had no idea what was going to happen in the group or to our lives or anything.
Wasn't the working title You Are?
Yes, it was, and it was Lowell Cream that said, you want to change that? It doesn't really work. And I was staying at Eric Stewart's house up.
So you'd have been recording at the Strawberry Studio.
Yes, in Stockport. It was all recorded. It was recorded a long time before Blue Jays. It was recorded in the early 70s, and we just never did anything with it. Actually, it was a kind of demonstration for the gizmo that was an instrument that Lowell Cream and Kevin Godley were working on, and that was a guitar with sort of spinning wheels that were lowered onto the strings and made this really ethereal sound. And it's featured on Blue Guitar, one of the few records it's ever featured on. And it was Lalu said to me, you know, that is, you can't call it UR. It doesn't. There's nothing interesting. So I came back the next morning with Blue Guitar, and everybody said, "Ah, oh, that's great." Still didn't mean anything, but it was nice.
It was a great title.
And Gibson made me a Blue 335, which I've still got.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, June of this year, we have the Moody Blues touring the UK. Just a UK tour for now, then?
No, it's UK. Well, we start again in the US next Tuesday, as a matter of fact. And the UK tour, and then we're going through Holland and then Scandinavia. Then we're back to the US after that in September.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop, does it?
We never close, Sean. It's, everything in the shop must go.
Justin Hayward, thanks very much for coming in to see me at
Sean,
Gold.
Thank you so much.